Thank you, choir. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. Becky, I understand you have another tie to this church. And you were here when Minky Huff was there. And, I knew Minky years ago from First Baptist Church in Bluefield when I was in Bluefield College. So, now, good to have you with us and stuff. Excuse me. This morning we have Chris Leeper to come and share with us. Chris is from Paducah, Kentucky. That's a beautiful town. They have really done that. We visited that, and my wife's a quilter, and they happen to have a little museum there, a national museum stuff and stuff, but it's a beautiful town, Chris. He went to the University of Kentucky. He served later with campus ministry there and University of K. And then about 6 years ago, he came to be at Radford University as campus minister. And he's one of those people that does other things too. He's, I think, a volunteer coach for tennis and stuff. And good to have him and Kate, his wife, and two sons who sang the solo for us and stuff with the rest of us and stuff. I guess we accompanied them and stuff. But Chris, we help Chris in many ways. One is we help because we give to BGAV, and part of his salary comes from that. And also we give to the network, which part of his salary comes from that. I think he said he had to raise about half his salary right now and stuff and things. So, we're glad to have Chris to come and be with us and share with us about campus ministry and what he's doing. And like I say, he's a missionary. He's sort of local for us, but he's still a missionary. Chris, come and lead us in worship. Glad to have you.
Thank you all for having me. I am so excited to be here. I've been, I remember parking here. I was like, I know I've been here before. We had our network meeting here, our annual meeting here one time. And it was, we've loved driving out to Wytheville. When Kate and I first came here, she actually got a job as a speech therapist here. And so she made this drive every morning for a year. And so we're familiar with this place. We love this place. As was told, I am the campus minister over at Radford University. I've been there. This is my seventh year, so I've been there for six full years, and this is my seventh year. It's crazy to think that that's how it got started. But I've always been a huge proponent of college ministry ever since I went through BCM at the University of Kentucky. It had such a profound impact on my life that God ultimately ended up calling me into campus ministry through that. So I finished school there, did an internship through BCM, and it was actually when our campus minister announced that he was leaving to go be a pastor in West Lafayette, Indiana, I felt the call to be a campus minister. And so started going to school, started figuring out what that meant. And so I was on staff at the University of Kentucky for 5 years. And in that fifth year, I received the call to come be the head director here at Radford University. And I've loved it here. Like Bill said, that I am from Paducah, Kentucky. And I... this place, this area reminds me of the people of Paducah. And so I remember when I left Paducah, I was like, I'm never coming back to Paducah. And then I come to a place that's very similar to my hometown. And so I guess you can't take it, you can't get it out of me, I guess. But what I want to talk to you all a little bit about today is I really want to talk about the Great Commission and specifically towards college students and why I feel called to do what I do, but also hopefully to encourage you and challenge you all to have some of that same passion that I have for college students that the Lord has laid on my heart. So at the BCM, we really have kind of three tenets or three things that we really focus on. And one of those is discipleship, mission, and community. And With discipleship and mission, a lot of those go hand in hand. Our goal is to reach students with the gospel on campus. We try to go out regularly, meet students we don't know, and try to have gospel conversations with them. We're also, whenever we get students that come in from churches and other places that are already believers, we try to help grow them into mature believers that are willing to share their faith, that are growing in the Lord and that are doing these things. And we try to provide a community for them. A community, the college campus can be a difficult place. It's on the very edge of, it's on the very, like the cutting edge of culture. Usually you can see where culture's heading by looking at what's going on college campuses, because these are going to be the future leaders, the future of this country, but also the future of the church. And so whenever we get these students, our goal is to provide them a community where they may be having a difficult time living out their faith on campus. And we want to provide a safe place for them to be able to grow, but also to be able to heal and get ready to get back out there on the field. Because we tell the students that they have been called to complete their degree, but God also has called them to be missionaries on their campus. God has also called them to share the gospel with the places they are around them. So we're going to look at Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is a pretty well-known, if you know the Great Commission, you've probably heard this group of verses a lot, but we're also going to look at Acts 1:8. And so, this is after Jesus had resurrected, and he is talking to his disciples. And this is how the book of Matthew ends. And I think a lot of times when we look at the end of a book, there's usually something important said. And there's a little bit of ending with both of these passages that we're going to look at. So it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And then Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so this passage in Acts 1:8, this is the last thing before Jesus ascends to heaven. This is the last thing that Jesus says. So it must be something that's pretty important to say when he say, "Go be my witnesses, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And how we end Matthew, that he says to go make disciples. And so oftentimes when we read scripture, a lot of times we need to look at, is this passage descriptive or is it prescriptive? If it's descriptive, because not everything that we read in scripture we need to just directly take and apply it to our lives. A lot of scripture wouldn't make sense if we did that, right? But we don't have to do a really deep dive into this particular passage to know that this is a prescriptive passage for all believers. That this is not something that it's just for me or your pastor or anyone that's a missionary. It's for every single believer that's out there. This is a prescriptive passage for followers of Christ. We are called to be witnesses of the gospel. We're called to share what we've seen and heard, because that's what a witness is, right? And so, like I said, thankfully, the Great Commission is a prescriptive passage. We are the plan A to get the gospel message out to the world. So many times we look to the professionals. I use that in quotations. We use the professionals to share the gospel and the good news with Jesus to others. But what does the Bible say? What does the scripture say? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "He who descended is one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers." So he gave the professionals, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and all of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And so, one of the things that my pastor in Lexington, when I was in Lexington, Kentucky, he's now since gone to be with Jesus, but one of the things that he would always tell us when we were just members of the church, he would say, it's not my job to share the gospel with the people in your life. He said, that is what Jesus has called you to do. He didn't call you to just invite them to church. He called you to share the gospel with them in their own life. He said, it's my job to teach you and equip you to share the gospel in your context, in your circles of influence. And he said, if you bring them to church, they're going to hear the gospel. I'm going to share that with them. That was his passion to share the gospel with others. But even someone who was an evangelist, someone who loved sharing the gospel with others, he understood that it was his job to equip those around him to share the gospel in their circles and in their places of influence. And he did the same in his own life. And that has always stuck with me. I know there's always, I heard countless sermons that he spoke and countless things that he said, and I don't remember 80% of them, but things like that stuck with me because he lived that out. He shared the gospel with people in his context, and he also was very intentional about equipping the church to share the gospel. I took an early church class while I was in seminary, and there's, once again, my retention of things isn't always the best sometimes, but there is one thing that stood out to me, and it was how the early church functioned. They didn't have buildings like this. They didn't have programs that they could invite people to. Yet the church was growing rapidly. The church was exploding because the people who called themselves Christians, the people who were followers of Jesus, were sharing the gospel in the workplaces, in the public marketplaces, the places that they frequented, because often they had to worship in secret. So they couldn't really invite people to come to church to hear the gospel because they were worshiping in secret, so they wouldn't be found out by like the Roman government or things like that. So they were sharing the gospel openly in their places of work, in the taverns, in the local areas, and that I think is the model that Jesus gives us, right? He says to go and make disciples, and there's a sense in the Great Commission where it is an as you go. So as we go throughout our lives, we're called to make disciples, whether we're whether we're going to a restaurant or going to the grocery store or going to our place of work, we are called to make disciples as we go. But there's also a sense the way it's written and the language that's used is this idea of go and make disciples. It is this intentional go and make disciples, because you see that with Jesus, right? He is discipling. He's discipling these people as he is going, as he is making his journey, but he's also intentionally calling people out. His 12 disciples, he says, come, follow me. I am choosing you to come and follow me. But he also was ministering to the crowds. He was also making disciples as he was walking through these places. And you see discipleship moments, like in Luke 11, where the disciples are like, they see Jesus praying and they're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that's part of the discipleship process. That's part of this living life together. One of the things that we try to accomplish as a collegiate ministry is that, yes, they need some, these college students need some intentional time where we're sitting down and we're studying the Bible. But some of it is just, they're coming over to our house. that we're going shopping with them. We're just living life with them and trying to show them what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, even in the everyday. And so one of the things that so at BCM, we are part of what is called Kairos. So at BGAV, we're called Kairos, which is a Greek word that means at the right moment or at the right time. And in college ministry, we believe that college students are in this Kairos moment. So many of these students are making decisions about who they are, what they believe, why they believe things. They're asking so many questions. There's such a huge, I see a huge difference between a college freshman and a college senior, because there is so many decisions, there's so much growth happening, and me and my associate Abby and other people who are in college ministry get to step in those moments and try to walk with students through this time. But that is why the college ministers in BGAV are part of this Kairos network, because we believe that college students are right at that right moment. And so why reach college students and share our faith on the college campus? So I'm not a very good Baptist. I don't have my 3 points. I think I have 5, and then another one was 7. They're quick, but so I'm not going to go on a 30-minute rant on each one. But I don't have my sweet 3 and 3. But hopefully, I don't expect you to remember all these things, but maybe something will stick as I say these things. One, they are the future of the church. Why should we reach college students? These are students that if we're reaching them with the gospel, they are going to be the ones carrying the message in the future. If we believe the words of Jesus when he tells Peter, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overtake it," we will invest in the future generation. I don't have the statistic, but I would love to see it. God is calling a considerable amount of college students and young adults into full-time ministry. Just in my time at Radford and at the University of Kentucky, you know, I can name, you know, dozens of students who are serving either overseas as missionaries or are walking into full-time ministry, or even if they're not in a vocational piece, they are lay leaders, they're elders and deacons within their church. These are going to be the leaders of the church of tomorrow. And we fully believe that. So when we're investing in college students, when we are discipling them, we have that in mind. And we want them to be in the local church and leading the local church. Number two, Jesus saw the value in reaching young adults. We don't know the exact ages of the disciples, but most scholars would agree that most of them, if not all of them, were mid to late teenagers to young adult age. This is something, when we talked about earlier, this would be something that I would say is a descriptive passage, that we don't necessarily need to, you know, take a prescription out of it. But I think it's definitely something that is worthy of noting, that Jesus saw the value of reaching young adults and using young adults to begin to build his church. Number three is college students are passionate followers of Christ. What I told you is college students are seeking identity. They're trying to find, who am I and what is my purpose? What are all of these things? So when they question, and if they find that the answer is Jesus, if they find that the answer is Christ, that he is worth pursuing, he is worth following, college students are all in. They are 100% in, and they are passionate. They have energy. They have excitement. They want to see people know Christ. They want people to be to have the gospel taken out. I have one story with this. There's a girl currently in our ministry. Her name is Grace, and she went on a mission trip with us. She had never shared her faith before, but she got trained to share the gospel with people. She went out on Purdue's campus and shared it. She went out on Eastern Kentucky University's campus and shared the gospel. And then when she got back, She told Abby, who personally disciples her, who's her mentor, she said, "Abby, I want to share the gospel really badly. I know I'm going to be scared when I get back because I know I'm not like the most outgoing person." And so she asked Abby, she said, "In our times where we are meeting, will you hold me accountable to sharing the gospel? Because I really want to, but I need someone to push me." And so Abby said, "We're going to study the Bible for 30 minutes during our time. And then the next 30 minutes, we're going to go walk out on campus and we're going to try to share the gospel with people." And I got to witness this happening because I was having lunch with another student. And then Grace comes to me a week later and she said, I thought it was an awkward conversation, but then she gave me her number and I'm actually meeting with the girl that I shared the gospel with this coming week. And so she was so excited about that. And so she continues to grow in sharing her faith. So college students are passionate. Number four is young adults, they need the local church. They need you all. Some of them may not think that they need the local church, but one of the things that we try to drive into the heart of students is saying that we are the church. We are the gather group, you know, because the church is the people, not necessarily the building. But we're not a church. We're not a local church. And so one of the things that we try to do as a ministry is to try to point students, to point young adults into the local body, because we know the mutual benefits of they need your knowledge, your wisdom, your encouragement, and you need their energy and their excitement and their and how the things that you can learn from them as well. They need the local church. And why do we reach college students on a college campus? Is one, the nations have come to us. It was mentioned that I'm currently a volunteer assistant coach for the men's tennis team at Radford University. Recently, we had an international day for our athletics, and for our tennis team, we had a guy from Israel, a guy from Portugal, a guy from Brazil, a guy from Italy, one guy from North Carolina. but we have the nations come to us. Even on a small campus like Radford, or like Radford's a fairly small campus, there are, over 100 international students there from all over the world. And so when we get to live out part of Acts 1:8, where it says to go into all the nations, as a campus minister, I get to have the nations luckily come to our neck of the woods. But that's becoming true just even in our local communities. It's not just college campuses. But we have the nations coming to us. So how do we reach college students? And the first point I have is it begins with prayer. If we're going to reach anyone, and if we're going to try, we're not going to reach anyone without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Acts 1:8 teaches us, is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. If we are not praying to be filled with the Spirit, how can we expect the Lord to move in our midst? Any great movement or any great awakening or whatever, revival, whatever you want to call it, it always begins with prayer. My predecessor, Jennifer Mullins, and some of you all know her, pretty well. But one of the things that she, one of the stories that she always told was when she got to Radford, there were two students there. And what they did was they would gather regularly just to pray. And then the ministry started to slowly grow, to slowly become where there were like 30, 40 students coming to the ministry before she left. And we're doing that now. We're gathering to pray. One of the things that when we have our network meetings, one of the things I've been praying for is young men. And it wasn't anything that I did. It wasn't that I was just like extra vigilant about going to get young men. It was more one of our girl students invited a friend from one of her classes, and he started to come, and it started to stick. And then he started inviting one of his friends to Bible study. And now we're starting to have, six or seven young men, coming to our ministry, where we had maybe one, maybe two. But it starts with prayer. If we want to see young adults reach, it starts with prayer, because prayer also, the Lord gives us a burden when we start to pray for people. I'm sure, I don't have to have a conversation, but I know my brother and sister over there, it became a burden. I'm sure they prayed to reach an unreached people group, to reach unreached people. You see that often when missionaries go out on the field, is because the Lord has given them a burden for a people. The Lord has given me a burden for college students. And he can give you all a burden for young adults or for a group of people here. But we have to start praying for those things. Number two, kind of like what I talked about earlier, so I'm not going to harp on it too long. We must be ready for a go and get attitude rather than a come and see. Do not be afraid of young adults and college students. Many of them are open to meeting new people and often very open to having conversations about spirituality. That is one thing that I've really noticed about a college campus, is that people are open to talking to things. They're not going to shut you down most of the time. Some people will, but a lot of people they're trying to discover what they believe, so they want to hear you out. They want to hear about spirituality. But we have to go to them. I don't know how many students we've had come to our building because we have just said, hey, we're having this thing, come see it. Sometimes we'll get a few students that way, but a lot of times it's students that we have gone out and met and gone to them and gone to their spaces that's when they get connected. College students desire authenticity. Young adults desire authenticity. Often when I hear from college students, their biggest complaint about the church is that they feel like they aren't good enough. And they feel like people are pretending like they know they're perfect, even though they know they're not. So what I say is, dare to be vulnerable with students that you're trying to get to know. You know, I used to share about things that I was struggling with. I used to share about my pornography addiction with students in the ministry, and how many of them were like, oh my gosh, like, I've struggled with that for so long, but I've been in church my whole life, but I've never felt comfortable sharing that with another soul. But because you told me that you used to deal with this, I felt like I could share this with you. And those people have become, you know, closer than brothers, you know, with me. These students that I know have done that just through me being like, hey, this is what I've dealt with. This is what I've struggled with. And so they need authenticity, because that's when real discipleship happens, right? We take the mask off and say, Jesus is growing me, Jesus is showing me these things. And students get to see the real us, but they also get to see the real places where God is working. Going along with that, we need to learn not to be shocked at the stories of young adults and college students. They've gone through a lot. And the access they have to things today through the internet and through technology, they're dealing with a lot of things that even I started to grow up through the internet and technology. And so I know a little bit of those things, but they have it to a whole new level. And so we don't need to be shocked. Culture is trying to tell them a lot of different things right now. And so we don't need to be surprised when some of that leaks into their stories or becomes part of their identity and part of their story. Number five is, be inquisitive. Ask questions. Jesus was the master at asking questions. I don't have the number in front of me, but I know that he was asked a ton of questions, and a lot of times, what was his response? Did he always just tell them the answer? A lot of times he would tell a parable, and then he would say, like with the Good Samaritan, he would told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then he says, who was this man's neighbor? That was how he ended that story. And so college students, we need to ask about them. We need to ask them questions and help them to see Jesus by helping them come to that conclusion. One of my students who is serving in Africa right now, the Middle East, and he is sharing the gospel with Muslim students. And I asked him, he said they've seen a large increase in the amount of Muslim students that are coming to faith. And I said, I know it's the power of the Holy Spirit, but is there anything that you're doing differently? And he said, yes. After we share the gospel with them, we ask them, what do you want to do with that information? Like, what do you want to do with the gospel? He's like, used to, we just would share the gospel and be done. But then we started to ask the question of, what do you want to do with that? Because he said, because before, the students would think, oh, we just had this great exchange of information. I told you about Islam, you told me about Christianity. Great, we both left learning something. But when we ask a question, all of a sudden, when they start to ask that question, all of a sudden these students said, oh, I need to make a decision about this. I need to do something about this information. So asking questions, good questions can help lead to meaningful gospel conversations. And when we ask questions, we get to this point where we stop assuming about someone because we're curious, because we're interested in who they are, and they can see that. Be willing and ready to spend some small group or one-on-one or one-on-two time with college students. Open up homes for home-cooked meals and time to invest in students. And seven is just do it. One of the things we try to have at BCM is to have students have an engine to reach their fellow students and feeling like they can fail. When we have any sort of outreach, we always try to have a time of evaluating what went well and what didn't. Food's always a good start, but trying to find ways to meet people on campus to let you know you care about them. And I know, you know, you're not near Radford University necessarily or Virginia Tech, but at Wytheville Community College, there's 4,000 young adults there. And I can guarantee a large portion of them need to know Christ. And so they're just down the street. And so, you know, like like I said at the beginning, it starts with prayer. It starts with a burden to reach those students. People who have a burden will find a way to get there, even if there's difficulties, even if there's hurdles, because God has given that to them. Reaching college students is what I felt called to do, and I know it's worthwhile for all churches to pursue. Like it was told earlier, most people in my field are raising their funds to do the work that they do. And this is not a plea to say, give me money. I need money because we're raising funds for what we do. My point is this, that there are people all across this nation and all across the world that see that this is such a worthwhile pursuit, that Jesus is sending people out, that so many are willing to raise their support because they feel like what they do is so important. And so I know that it's worthwhile. Not just because of me and my passion, but because of what I see brothers and sisters all across the nation doing to reach college students. And so I'm going to end, like we talked about, with a couple of questions. Are you praying for a heart to reach young people? Those around you in your workplace? Your friends that don't know Jesus? And when was the last time that you shared your faith with someone? It may have been a while. I want to leave you with this encouragement. Know that you, yes, you, are capable of effectively sharing the gospel with others, including college students and those around you. I know this because you have the Holy Spirit within you. It is not anything that you have done. It's not anything that you can do. I know that you can effectively share the gospel with those around you because you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, the same power that raised him from the dead within you. And I also know this through experience. Students will say, oh, well, I'm a huge introvert. I'm not great at talking with people. Those have been some of the most effective people at reaching others with the gospel. It's not always the people who like to be out in front, who talk to every person that they know. I've seen the quietest and most shy people effectively share the gospel with others. I've been on multiple mission trips where we've gone to other countries that people who are of all different types of backgrounds have effectively shared the gospel. God has created you to be effective in sharing the gospel where you are. And so I leave you with that encouragement. And I pray for you all to have a burden. I personally have a little bias towards young adults. But I pray that as you all gather to pray, when you have your prayer meetings, when you pray at home, when you're spending time with the Lord, ask God to give you a burden for people. Because that's where it starts. I'm so thankful that God has called me to a college campus, and I love college ministry with everything that I am. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's not easy, and it takes a lot of work. But I've just seen such value in investing in college students, and I'm so thankful that we're in an area where churches and this network that we're in is so supportive of the things that we're doing. Because that's not the case all over, and so I'm thankful to be a part of this place, to be a part of this area that sees the value of college ministry, and I want to continue to challenge, continue to grow as we reach college students across the New River Valley. Yeah. Thank you all for having me. I'm going to pray, and then I will be finished. So, God, you are so good to us. We thank you for people across the nation who are reaching college students. And Lord, I know that college students and young adults are the future of the church, but they're also the church of right now. God, that you're using them and you are you're making yourself known to them and through them. Lord, I thank you that you just continue to show us how good you are, show us your glory. And God, I just pray that you would just continue to burden us for young adults. God, there is a need now just as strong or even more than ever. And Lord, I'm thankful just from the students that I have been able to disciple and that I've been able to see be discipled. I'm comforted when I look at them because I know the church is in good hands. Lord, that the gates of hell won't ever overcome it, and I see the future of the church, and I'm confident that that's the case because I've seen it, but also because your word says it. God, I thank you for the 12 young adults and the others that followed, that listened to the Great Commission. Because we exist now knowing you and knowing your gospel because of the faithfulness and obedience of them. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone before us that have helped pave the way, but also have prayed. And I pray, God, that we would invest in the future generation as well, that we would see that they hold the future of the church. And God, that you are guiding them and watching over them and discipling them. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here for just allowing me to come speak. And Lord, that you would just continue to work through them to help them grow to you and help them just have a burden for their community to reach those around them with the gospel. God, I thank you that you've gifted each and every one in this congregation, each follower of you, Jesus, with the ability to share the gospel with others. In your name, Lord, I pray that they would just leave encouraged. I pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and I just thank you so much for everything you've done for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.
He offers us a challenge. Part of our challenge is to share the good news, but also receive the good news. Maybe God's been speaking to you, and you need to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, come into my heart, be my Savior, be my Lord. You need to make a commitment to witness more. You need to rededicate your life. Whatever you need this morning, might you come? We're going to stand. Jerry's going to lead us in a song. And you come and share with us. I'll be here.
Thank you. Let us stand. Sing the chorus with us. Simply says, yes, Lord, yes.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
May be seated. During the prelude, we'd like for you to sit and think about what you heard this morning and how you will respond to what God's calling you to do.